Hello, listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank, brought to you by VRS Consulting and our studios right here in Little Rock. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, sitting here with my co-host, David Sims. You probably know what we do, unless you're a first-time listener, but we try and interview the brightest and best entrepreneurs and business owners in and around Arkansas about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and running a successful business. This is the podcast where book smarts reach street smarts. Hopefully they collide into an MBA in entrepreneurship. So we want to remind you as our listeners that the Shrimp Tank is now nationally syndicated on iHeartRadio. So you can download all of our shows from iHeart, iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And you can always go to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com, catch the podcast and the 5-minute wrap-up video. Boy, that's a long intro now that we're with iHeart.
That's right, man. You got to, man.
Success breeds
nationally
loquaciousness.
Syndicated. That's right, man.
Hey, David, I'm really excited about the guest we've had. I think he's the only one who actually interviewed us before he'd come on for
that's
us
true,
to interview
that's
him.
That's true, yeah. He checked us out big time, and we had to reschedule, man. I want to make sure that the Montezuma's revenge is over. Is that right?
Yeah,
we're safe here.
I'm faring well today. I'm glad to be here.
You know, I'm also thinking we got to get some extra thing in there and plead the fifth because he interviewed us. We've got to get him
back. We're going to get him. That's right. That's right. Yeah, our guest is a banker, and so we've been looking forward to
– They're just a notch above lawyers, aren't
that's
they?
That's right, man. That's right.
Just a notch.
Just a notch.
At least you got above them.
Thank
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
Thank you.
You're moving up, man.
My legal friends will not be happy.
So anyway, hey, we are excited to have David Schindler on the broadcast. He's got more than 38 years of experience in sales, marketing, and commercial banking. And that's a lot of years.
Look a lot younger than you must be.
That's right.
I feel a lot younger than those words.
And we before the show, you talked about when you do your speaking at University of Missouri or wherever it is, talking to the business guys, you show them a picture when you're
my freshman ID.
Big old fro.
1976
I want to see that picture. We ought to put that on the Shrimp Tank picture.
Were you wearing bell bottoms and a gold lemonade shirt, too?
Close. At the bell bottoms.
Well, he's been devoting his energies to development and support of small to medium-sized privately held businesses and employs a consultative, creative approach that we're going to hear about on the show. I'm excited about that because it really does it does reflect a lot of what our sponsor, BRS Consulting, does in terms of how they do their approach to relationships and business. And so he addresses each business's set of unique challenges, highly relational, and from the development and execution stages to meeting and exceeding benchmarks of success, David's honed to the sales and communication. We're going to talk about the sales, communications, and business evaluation skills necessary to target and eclipse goals in a rapidly changing and challenging business environment. And that's one of the things he interviewed us on. He wanted to make sure he could talk about the sales, communications, and business evaluation skills.
I was a little concerned because remember we had Danny Gaines from the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. They had to be very careful what they said.
That's right.
So we'll find out how much leeway Iberia gives
that's
David.
That's right. We're gonna
I do represent Iberia Bank, and I do represent sales, communications, and business
that's
development.
Right. David is the Executive Vice President and Senior Commercial Relationship Manager of Commercial Banking with Iberia. He earned his BS in Business Administration from the University of Missouri in Columbia in 1980 and graduated from the National Commercial Lending School of the University of Oklahoma in Norman in 1988. He's involved in a bunch of community involvement or activities through board membership of Arkansas Capital Corporation, Heart of Arkansas United Way, and Local First Arkansas. He has two grown children and lives with his wife in Little Rock. And David, welcome to the show. What is your wife's name?
My wife's name is Julie Grunfest Schindler.
Julie.
Oh, that's great.
Is she related to the Dave Grunfest companies?
Absolutely. That would be her brother.
Okay. Well, I have a good friend that he's one of the partners at Dave Grunfest.
Really?
Gosh, now I'm trying to play.
Good friend. Must be a good friend.
Senior moment. You're not a senior yet, are you?
We spent 4 years together in a community group, and now I'm trying to play Codice.
Jeff McNeil.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You probably know Jeff really well.
I do. Yeah. Jeff's a great guy.
Good work. Well, Dave, it's great to have you on the show. Glad you made it back safely from Mexico.
Thank you.
Montezuma's revenge is over. We're safe. Let's roll.
And Jeff, if you're listening, I apologize. So, David, after 38 years in the banking industry, I'm sure you've learned a thing or two, and you've seen a thing or two. So what advice do you have for a young person who might be interested – we won't even talk entrepreneurship yet, but what if they were interested in a long-term successful career in banking? Give us a little bit about your background. What makes you successful in banking?
that's an interesting question. That's not the difficult question, but it's interesting. You know, what makes you successful is an attention to detail, an attention to people, understanding people's needs, evaluating their business, their positions, and trying to find banking products and services that provide solutions to their needs. And in an interview process, as you guys know, you really have to cover A to Z. What do? How do you do it? Where do you do it? Why do you do it? Do you understand your business model? Do you understand your sweet spot? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know how your assets support your income statement or how your income statement's a reflection of your balance sheet? Do they understand that? Most small business owners are everything from the person that opens a business in the morning and turns the lights on to the guy that cleans the toilet when he turns the lights off mm-hmm. before he leaves. And so they have to do everything.
So as a banker, you know, did you ever have to clean the toilet?
You know, I've never had to do that at work.
But Julie has a whole
Julie's got it down. Oh, that's good. Really.
Absolutely.
So unpack a little bit more of your primary responsibilities at Iberia Bank now.
Right now, I manage a commercial loan portfolio of clients, small to medium-sized businesses, primarily in central Arkansas. A number of them work throughout the state. A few of them work in the surrounding states, providing banking products and services to meet their needs, whether they be lending products, deposit products, treasury management services. We talked earlier, merchant card, David, is another uh-huh. one. Trust services, investment services. We want to provide the financial services that clients need to fulfill their objectives and their goals.
And the idea being, especially for an entrepreneur or a business owner, it is really nice to have a personal banker.
Yeah.
I come from San Francisco Bay Area. Really hard to have a personal banker there because they see so many people constantly.
Yeah.
But there were times when since we've moved here, you know, needed a favor.
Yeah.
It was really nice to have that contact.
See, it's a good point, too, because before we got on the show, Dave was talking about, he actually got the picture out right here. When he early on in your career, you had a mentor sit down and say, hey, you know, here are the four stools or the four legs on a chair that you got to have for a successful business.
Absolutely.
One of them's a banker. One of them's an accountant. Of course, you got to have a lawyer. And then the insurance side, the risk management side.
Absolutely. Right? And yeah. I would be willing to bet right now, you guys in your business at BRS Consulting have those four lined up. Pick up the phone, speed dial.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We've got to have a
network of relationships and help our clients.
I just have
make
one.
Those
I call David and say, hey, come on, you four people.
Absolutely. Well, having one that has the four people, that's also key.
Okay, so you're Executive Vice President, Senior Commercial Relationship Manager of Commercial Banking. We kind of got some details there, but you mentioned small to medium-sized business clients is one thing. So if you could define what that size is. And then secondly, I know that one of your responsibilities from the website is business development. So define that for us as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a two-part question.
Well, the business development side is really easy. All commercial banks, and Iberia Bank is one that focuses on new business development. Sales to new clients, adding new clients, new loans, new deposit accounts opened. My personal position is I play a wonderful defense on my existing clients. I build a wall around them. I provide services and responsiveness that doesn't allow a competitor to breach my wall. When it comes to new clients, it's even more challenging because you have to be able to sell yourself first and foremost. Is the individual knowledgeable about banking products and services to help me in my business? Does he or she bring the necessary tools and understanding to the table for me to gain confidence in working with them as a bank? And so those are the skill sets you have to have. You have to be a people person. You have to be able to engage. You have to be able to sell without appearing that you're selling. You need to be sincere. You need to be responsive, be intuitive.
And really, selling without appearing to be selling, that happens naturally if you're really putting the client's best interest.
Every mm-hmm. time.
Because you're not really selling them. You're trying to solve a problem or meet a need.
Exactly. Yes. And you provide yeah. solutions, not products or services.
Exactly.
You don't go throwing products at a client when you walk in the door.
Right.
We have checking accounts. We have loans. Every competitor has that. Mm-hmm. How do you separate yourself from your competitors
right.
is a key yeah. component.
And then what would a small to medium-sized business, what's the range there?
You know, it's interesting. We say that because a predominant amount of businesses in central Arkansas and the state of Arkansas are small to medium-sized businesses,
mm-hmm.
grassroots levels, mom and pop that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But really what we're meaning is privately held companies that can generate revenue anywhere from $1 million or $5 million on the low end to $50 to $100 million on the top end of where we can provide the necessary commercial banking products and services to meet their needs.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, we want to move on to what we call, David, our business critical thinking. So that was kind of like getting to know you, getting to know your business. But David, you had a particular question
you
wanted to ask.
One of the things as we were thinking about preparing for the show was just kind of banking, and I got in and did some research and looked at some current articles. And one of the recent ones on end of January was the Fed's decision to stop raising interest rates. So what does that signal for you as a banker? And for your, you know, your small to medium-sized, closely held businesses.
Well, as a banker, what it tells me, the Fed is trying to stabilize the economy a bit. Let there be a period of time where rates can maintain stability, where companies can make decisions based on that. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest issue with the rising rate environment, right, is businesses trying to make decisions about when to invest, when to borrow, when not to invest or not to borrow, just as important of a decision. And so in a market like Arkansas, where you have, again, a predominant of small, privately held businesses, they're less impacted by what Wall Street does and more impacted about what the local banks are going to charge for their products and services, their loans they need, or in a position of excess cash, the return for an interest rate on deposits.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's challenging. I think the Fed's trying to stabilize it. We've gone through a two-year period of rising rates. Mm-hmm. The expectation before, I think, the fourth quarter of last year was to continue the rising rates throughout this year. The end of the year, I think, caused the Fed to pause. Mm-hmm. And in January, they came out with a decision not to raise rates this time.
Right.
You know, you meet the Federal Open Market Committee meets, I believe, six times over the course of the year, mm-hmm. or maybe eight. You've got another meeting, I think, coming in 6 weeks, the first part of March, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond to what the economy's done and what their expectation is of rates then.
Right, right. It's good.
So we always try and be – we try to either interview entrepreneurs or be a resource to entrepreneurs. So if – let's say I'm an entrepreneur and I really want to develop and successfully grow and run my business, what do you think is the number one banking or finance skill I need to have?
The first thing I would tell you is recognizing the need to maintain traditional banking relationships. And by that I mean knowing what a bank's position is and what a bank's there to help and how the bank can help them based on their business. You know, banks are challenged to do startup lending because there's no history there for the bank to hang their hat on, or no collateral often for us to hang our hat on. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, commercial banks are here to support business growth. Startup capital is more difficult. Mm-hmm. Venture capital is more difficult. Leveraged capital is more difficult. Banks like to finance assets for a term that's based on the asset life, which is why lines of credit are typically 1 or 2 years. Receivables and inventory are current assets. Mm-hmm. Equipment and real estate get extended for, you know, 5 to 7 to 10 years on equipment, and real estate can go up for 25, sometimes even 30 years mm-hmm. on financing, age the asset.
So I know being a private banker, you're kind of have a vested interest in this answer, but it would seem to me a lot of things are going online these days. And you just mentioned having traditional banking relationships. And I think about that. If I'm an entrepreneur and I hit a cash flow crunch, mm-hmm. I might have a hard time just going to an online banker and figuring out a solution. So
I think that's true.
Is that what you meant by traditional?
Well, yes and no. By traditional, I mean access to commercial banking.
Right.
Not necessarily the method with which you access it,
okay,
technologically, digitally versus in-person, face-to-face. You know, I'm an in-person, face-to-face kind of guy, and I think I have a greater impact when I sit across the table from my prospects and clients than I do technologically. And so it's not the delivery of the service, it's accessing banking in a traditional manner. And so it goes to the concept of having a banker. Mm-hmm. Spending the time evaluating what banks do and how they do it, and picking a banker that you've chosen because they've engaged with you as well. They've learned who you are and what you do, and they're going to be there to support you when you have a need.
Got it.
And that's the benefit of a personal banking
right.
relationship.
And I would imagine, like with Rich's question about entrepreneur who's doing a startup, I mean, I would imagine, you know, 38 years in the industry, you could be able to help them see forward a little bit more too in terms of cash flow management decisions and things. You might be able to suggest, you know, you probably need to be thinking about how to manage a profit and loss statement and a balance sheet if they don't know those kind of issues, right?
Those are important. And the fact of the matter is many people come to you with a business idea and they think they want to borrow money to start a business, and you start asking them the questions, well, tell me, where's your sweet spot going to be? Mm-hmm. How does your business model look? Do you understand the relation between your assets, liabilities, and your income statement?
Right.
Better yet, tell me how you're going to get to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So the ones that come prepared with a business plan that can answer these questions, you're already leaning into the wind wanting to help them.
Right.
You know, it's easy as a banker to lean on your heels and say no. The easiest thing for me to do is say no. It's a challenge and hard work to be able to say yes and to work with a client or a prospect that is working towards that yes with you.
Yeah, yeah. So now let's shift a little bit. So non-entrepreneur, not startup, but now let's say company's 5 years in business and they're at $10 million of revenue and they're on a track to maybe in the next 5 years hit $50 million, okay? What's the number one banking or finance skill that you think a C-suite executive for that company needs to develop or manifest, or what are you looking for as a banker, let's say?
I'm looking to see that the leader and or leaders of this company understand the evolution from a $10 million company to a $50 million company.
Okay.
Many people are adept at running companies at certain points, but not necessarily is the running a $50 or $100 million company similar to running a $10 million company.
Right.
So are the leaders evolving along with the growth of the company? Mm-hmm. Do they have the financial systems in place, not just now, but to be able to support their growth, which is going to be significant? Do they have the right people in place, whether that's human resources, whether that's sales, whether that's accounting, mm-hmm. you know, the four legs of the chair, how are they set on their four professionals, if you will? Mm-hmm. And are they putting in place the necessary steps, positions, structure to be able to support growth from 10 to 50 million.
Right.
So that's really the first thing
I would imagine you're kind of seeing forward and thinking, okay, guys, what's your strategy? I mean, you're going to do private equity, you're going to do
the
IPO,
capital play.
Whatever it is.
Absolutely.
You know, and then how you can partner with them on the finance piece of that, because there's a lot of times the bank's in the middle of that play, right?
That's exactly right. The fact of the matter is if they look at a bank as the 100% provider of capital, they've started out on a bad road. Mm-hmm. Capital comes from three or four different sources. Obviously, what do you have in your pocket? What are the retained earnings of the company you've developed for 5 years that mm-hmm. have been operating? You know, what are you able to borrow or leverage? How have you structured the balance sheet of the company in the first 5 years to meet your needs going forward?
Right.
And have you structured in a way where you can go to the bank and access traditional commercial capital with collateral, with growth,
right.
with a strong equity position?
Right, right. That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, very good. Hey, I want to move on to what we call our shrimp cocktail portion here. So you know how you get those shrimp cocktails and they're in the martini glass and they're big old jumbo shrimp hanging there over the edge and you take one, there's just a lot to chew on there?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
So
you're not
one,
allergic to shrimp, right?
No, I like shrimp. I've been wondering where shrimp was going to come into our conversation.
You didn't have shrimp down in Mexico, did you?
I did have some shrimp in Mexico.
That wasn't part of the problem, was it?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to tweak a little bit what I was planning to ask based on what you said. So I'd like to hear both a success story and a horror story of a business owner as it relates to expansion, banking, needing capital, something like that, so that our listeners can learn from that. Because they want to be the success story, not the horror story.
Yeah.
I would probably give you answers that are more profiles of success or profiles of failure. And it does go back to the value you provide to companies. I indicated earlier, and David commented, I use a consultative approach. And the reality of it is there's a dozen bankers lining up outside your door right now that can open a checking account for you or make you a loan. But can more of them provide value to your company? Can they evaluate what you're doing? Can you explain to them what a sweet spot is and how they're positioned to get there and why that's important? You know, and so the profile of successful clients are those that I think are the smartest people in the world. They look in the mirror. They don't fool themselves. Hmm. They know what they know, and they know what they don't know, and they play to what they know. In other words, they play to their strengths and hire their weaknesses.
So the horror stories is the arrogant person that comes in there and thinks they know everything. And
The arrogance in business is almost unmitigatable. Whether it be small business owners.
It's terminal, baby.
That sounds like a banker. I would like to mitigate the risk on this loan, and so I'm going to mitigate this arrogance that you have.
Let's shoot him.
You just say, let me mitigate that risk. Let me take this pen and pop that button, that bubble, boom.
And I have the utmost respect for those business owners because they're out there making it happen.
Right.
And they've taken the risks to get where they're at or where they're trying to get, and so you do respect them. At the same time, you have to recognize we all have strengths and weaknesses. faces.
Right.
I'm not naive to my own. I look in the mirror and I see the real person looking back.
Right.
And so when you play to your strengths, you provide clients opportunity to be successful. When you acknowledge your weaknesses, you're saying, I don't have these strengths. Let me go out there and get the support I need
right.
to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that's as much of, if not one of the bigger weaknesses I see, is that they're unwilling, afraid to, or won't admit their lack of knowledge or skill set in a certain area.
Right, right.
And those that do and seek help usually have a better path to success.
Huh. So is the working out of that mistake tend to be that they over-leverage? Or they do it at the wrong time?
Both. And I mean, that's really the issue. When to leverage, how much to leverage. It's a function of what your financial statements provide, mm-hmm. the market that you're operating in, how your sales are generating. You know, there's really only two ways to improve an income statement. Increase revenues, cut expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's easy. You have to do those two things regularly. But you do get to a certain point in businesses where you've cut the expenses you've cut.
Right.
You can't cut more than what you have because you've cut to the bone. So it always comes back to revenue enhancement.
Right.
So how do you drive revenue in the market you're in, okay, in the business you're in?
So we went through 2008 financial crisis. Yes. Lending kind of dried up. What would you say to someone who had a loan with you, business really turned down, but they still have a good business model, but they can't meet that? Is it where the personal banker comes in and you can recast the loan to a longer term, or what kind of things happen there? And what, how much freedom do you have as a banker when the entire credit system is kind of drying up?
You know, the credit system never, quote, dried up, Rich. It's an interesting comment.
Well, it becomes so tough to get a loan.
It becomes tougher to get loans. Banks are in the business of making loans every day of the week. We want to make loans. We have capital available to make loans. But it is a function of the economic realities of the time. You know, what is the market doing? What is the economy doing? How does this business work in the market? And what are these businesses' specific and particular positions of finance? How do the owners look to support that? Most small to medium-sized businesses that we talk about are really there to generate wealth, not for the business, but for the owners. Mm-hmm. And typically what happens when companies are successful, they transfer the wealth that is generated by a business operation into their personal accounts. Now, as long as we see that transfer and owners are willing to, quote, guarantee their debt, even as their companies are having problems, if we have a good relationship, if we understand the customer, if we see the net worth residing on the individual's financial statement, mm-hmm. we have more flexibility.
Right.
And so you really still have to look at the business model, the economy, the individuals, and make determinations based on the situation you're in at the time. Have they over-leveraged? Did they leverage at the wrong time? Do they need more leverage? Do they need more capital? Do they need more sales? Or are they fat on expenses? What is the particular issues with that situation?
Yeah, that's good.
So they're not general, but they're consistent.
Good. That's really good. So I got a two-part jumbo shrimp question for you. All right.
Two-part jumbo. Just by the definition of jumbo shrimp is two parts.
Two bites. He's going to make you eat the tail.
This is so big you can eat it in two bites. So the first is like, okay, I'm a C-suite executive of, say, a $50 million business, and we're growing like crazy, and we're wanting to position for a liquidity event for our share price.
David, just right? So you know that David pitches these as hypotheticals, but he's always got a client in mind. and he's looking for free advice.
That's okay.
All right.
This is free advice today.
And we're looking for the right banker to partner with us in our steps to he's got his card out. Here we go.
Okay, good. Yeah.
All right, we got it. Rich is right. I do have a couple clients in mind.
I've got more cards.
So here's the interview process for the banker to be the partner for the finance piece of financing a combination of things to get us from 50 million to say 250 million and the whole equity play that goes with that and a potential IPO or something like that. So how would you sell yourself to me as a relational commercial banker?
Ooh, this is good.
This is good.
And
I'll be honest with you. The reality of that situation is he's got he or she, whoever owns and operates this company, that's had achieved success to this level and is looking to marshal that success further. If they don't have an astute CFO, if they don't have a strong outside accounting firm, and a good controller, then they're going to be challenged to do that. But they couldn't have gotten to $50 million without some of that.
Right.
The reality of it is.
Right.
And so in most cases like that, it's been my experience that they're looking for a low rate and easy terms. Mm. They're not looking for a consultative banker to come in and tell them how they need to structure that. Because as the banker that they put that out on, I want to see a very strong report on how they're going to get from 50 to 250.
Right.
What's it going to take to get there? Personnel, capital, resources, sales. Where's it coming from? And so I want to earn that business, but I want to understand that business first. But if I am the incumbent bank on that business, I should have done a good enough job to have gotten them to 50 that I'm in position to take them to 250 without being competed against.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
We're running low on time here, Dave.
Are we? Okay. What time? How much we got? All right.
We got about 5 minutes left, and we haven't done plead the fifth yet.
Oh, man. No. Plead the fifth goes fast. Don't worry about it. So make this answer. make this answer short, David, even though my question is going to be long.
Make it a yes-no question. You give me an open-ended question, you're getting an open-ended answer.
All right, so I'm the $50 million CEO. So what's the number one banking finance skill you're looking for in me?
You're the CEO?
Yeah, I'm the CEO, and I'm interviewing you for that, and you're questioning it.
Oh, David, that's easy.
Me.
It is. Humbleness.
Have a good CFO.
Yeah. Humbleness and a good CFO.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, good. Well, that was quick. I mean, that was quick. All right, now we're going to go to plead the fifth.
Right, and David, I asked you a question that kind of set up. I changed my first question a little bit. So we know you're a banker, so you have a vested interest in this. But if you were an entrepreneur right now, and you're about to take out a big loan for business expansion, knowing the economy that we're in right now. And by the way this works is if you answer it, you get a point. If you plead the fifth, we get the point. All right? So given the current economic uncertainty, would you take out that loan?
Yes.
I think he's talking like a banker.
No, I'm talking about the way you laid out the profile. It's a function of my confidence in myself, my business, and my strategy.
Okay.
Absolutely. If the opportunity is to move forward, you move forward.
Okay.
So, all right. So, second question. All right. Did you vote for Hillary, Trump, or someone else in the election?
What election?
That's a good one. What election?
I don't think that's an answer.
We won that one. That's all right.
What I want to know is, did they ever find Chad that they hung out in Florida a long time ago? Poor guy.
There was a person named Chad.
All right. If we're going to stay on the political vein, what do you think of Howard Schultz's announcement to run for president?
Very interesting. I mean, it's so interesting to see everybody that comes up to run for president gets up there in front of the microphone, immediately takes out a pistol and shoots themselves in the foot.
All right. Well, here's the next question. If he runs as an independent, you going to vote for him?
Who's he running against?
He's a politician. He's not a banker. He hasn't answered any of the woodwork to run.
I want to see everybody that's running.
All right. This one I know he's not going to answer. We're going to get a point here. In your 38 years in the banking industry, you've certainly witnessed your share of banking fraud. What's the name of the company executive that tops your list?
It's not good to speak ill of the deceased.
I would call that plead the fifth.
All right. Well, he won, though, because it's 3-2. That's all right.
Yeah, but every answer was couched in another question.
Every question was couched in an expected answer.
That's good. Well, hey, David, it's been a great fun. Our show's sponsor, BRS Consulting, refer to themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors. And by that, what they mean is retirement really is when you die. Okay? That's when you retire. Because you can't do anything else, right? Mm-hmm. But rehirement, I mean, you've got 38 years of experience. You've got a lot to give, a lot to share, a lot to learn with that experience. And so it's how do you give back? What's the future? The sponsor of BRS Consulting also talks about the end game of their planning process is to be a generous steward and leave a lasting legacy. So talk about that. What are your legacy goals and what are your once you're done, you know, at Iberia and you're rehired to your next venture in life?
You're tired of building moats around your client. Now what do you do?
building moats for my client. Yes. Well, you know, it's an interesting question, David. I would say that what I enjoy most about my career and what I do on a daily basis is truly and sincerely the personal and professional fulfillment I derive from helping my customers be successful. And I have had numerous customers successful, I mean, lots over the years that provide me that very good feeling. I'm compensated fairly. Always want more money. I enjoy what I do. Freedom and flexibility to work the day, the week, as need be. But what I've done in the last few years, and what I talked to you about previously, I've spoken to a number of classes in colleges. I've been able to be a mentor down at the Venture Center a bit. I've certainly mentored and led people in my career throughout my career. Mm-hmm. And to enjoy banking as I do now, I would look to extend that into the future. Not just the banking part, but the mentoring, mm-hmm. the Venture Center, as well as others. Continued speaking engagements where I can share what I believe has been a successful selling career and the attributes that make that so.
Hmm. That's good. That's good.
Hey, David, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. I'm sure there's a few listeners that have thought, hey, maybe I need to have a personal banker, or I need to at least start investigating some of this stuff. What would be the best way for them to get a hold of you if they wanted to find out more information?
Well, you can call me directly at Iberia Bank here in Little Rock. My office is in the Heights on R Street. I'm in the phone book. My direct number is 501-661-7778. And I'm available by email, david.schindler@iberiabank.com.
Great.
And he left a six inch stack of business cards here too, guys.
Absolutely.
Great. We get to make another paper airplane contest.
Small airplanes with business cards.
Hey, David, thanks so much for being on the show. It really has been a lot of fun. Thanks for putting up with us and your sense of humor. For those of you who've been listening, if you've never heard us before and you want to catch other episodes, go to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. You can subscribe through iTunes, and we're also part of iHeartRadio. So all those things that come with that, SoundCloud and Google Play and everything else, you can find us there. We also have a YouTube channel for all of our episodes have a 5-minute post-show wrap-up video. So if you want to catch highlights before you listen to the podcast, you can do that. Until next week, stay safe, and remember, to become a shark in the business world, we all start out as shrimp.